WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Happy New Year. Here we are at the beginning of a year, ready to celebrate more of the Newport Music Festival. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos. And Pamela, I made it. I shoveled out and got here, and we're actually together. It's a good thing. What a huge snowstorm.
Yes, it was. But I think by now, being Sunday night, everybody's probably shoveled out and all okay again. And I think it's going to be a little bit before we get our next storm. So that's a good thing.
It's all good. And we're talking about the Newport Music Festival, new summer series coming up, along with some other things that are happening during the year. So let's get started. What did you bring for us today?
Well, you know, as you know, now we're in 2018, and it is officially the 50th anniversary season.
That's right. That's right. This is official now, so happy anniversary.
Yes, absolutely, to the festival and everyone who's been a part of it for so long, and it's going to be a thrilling season. So I thought I could start this evening's broadcast by telling our listeners a little bit about our early ticket sales. As a response to the many requests by our loyal patrons, the Newport Music Festival has decided to change the ticketing process. Namely, rather than tickets going on sale in May, they are going to be going on sale very soon, in just a few weeks, on January 29th.
Wow. All right, then. I'm ready.
Yeah. But to begin the season, tickets will only be available online. So you'd go to our website, which is newportmusic.org, and we'll mention it a couple of times this evening. And you just go, and because we've moved to reserved seating, you're going to be able to click on the name of the performance, see all of the performers listed, the programming itself, read about the artists, their biographies. The website is actually quite comprehensive. And then actually go through the process and click on the seats you want, select your seats, and you can print your tickets at home or you can pick them up at will call. And so I think this is a really exciting change for our patrons.
That's tremendous. In other words, you get to know right away whether you're sitting towards the front, towards the middle,
right,
towards the back, wherever you happen to like to go.
Exactly. And also, our patrons are no longer going to have to wait in line at the venues, but, you know, can enjoy a dinner out before attending a concert, for example, at the Breakers, where there's free parking. Well, there's free parking everywhere. But they can go out to dinner and then look at their, you know, watches and say, oh, look, it's 7:40.
And my seat is waiting for me.
And my seat is waiting. We'll just drive over to the Breakers and park and then walk right in and start the concert at 8. So I think it's going to really serve our audiences very well. And I'm very excited. And, you know, very thankful. Everyone's been really wonderful, our staff and everyone, about getting all this done. So we're very excited that we can, you know, start the season with the early sale of tickets and this modern and convenient manner for our patrons.
Well, that sounds like a great start to 2018.
Thank you. So since we have 6 months until the festival and so much wonderful music that's being presented this season, I thought that we could jump right in and discuss the repertoire of the opening night concert, which will be on Thursday, July 5th at 8 p.m. at the Breakers.
All right, so we're going to set the mood now.
Yes, we are.
There's no snow on the ground. It's a nice, pleasant evening, and we're in July. Okay, so everybody's got their imagination going.
There we go.
The magic of radio.
We will open this concert with one of the most beautiful and uplifting string quartets ever written, namely Antonin Dvorak's String Quartet No. 12 in F major, Opus 96, known as the American Quartet. This American Quartet was written during the composer's residency in the United States, and it premiered on January 1st, Happy New Year, 1894, in Boston. And although Dvorak doesn't quote any actual American melodies that you might recognize in this quartet, he really set out to capture the spirit of American music. So if you think about it, what is American music, or what is America life? We're ebullient, we're outgoing, you know, we have great imagination, we're creative, and we have no boundaries. And so that's one of the things that you hear in this piece, and it is the most frequently performed of his many chamber works. Dvorak, who at that time was serving as the director of the National Conservatory of Music in New York City, actually wrote this quartet in Spillville, Iowa.
Of course. Where else would he be?
He spent his summer holidays there because there was a huge Czech community of immigrants, and therefore he could speak his native language and he felt quite at home. So he began the piece early in June 1893, only 3 days after his arrival in Iowa, and finished it before the month was out. So this was a piece that just poured out of him. So let's jump right in and listen to the first movement of this extraordinary string quartet. Here we are going to listen to a recording by the Euclid Quartet, and this is a new recording of theirs. Some of our listeners may have actually attended the Newport Music Festival concert in October, where the Euclid Quartet played. And so I thought this was really wonderful that we were able to play this recording. I'm also very excited to announce that their wonderful cellist, Jacqueline Choi, will be joining us as one of our resident artists this summer.
Excellent. All right, we will listen to that. And most of the pieces that we have today are a little bit lengthy, so we'll just listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to our special series on the Newport Music Festival. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos, the executive director of the festival, and we are listening to some beautiful music as usual. This is actually show number 11, Pamela, and we're rolling right along here. We can aim to continue to do this. So those of you that are listening, make sure you tune in for more shows as we go along. And where are we now?
So I'd love to tell our listeners a little bit about this remarkable composer. Antonín Leopold Dvořák was born in Bohemia in 1841, which was part of the Austrian Empire and is now the Czech Republic. And he died in Prague in May of 1904. He was the first Bohemian composer to achieve worldwide recognition. And as we listen to his music, we can understand why he was noted for turning folk material into the language of 19th century romantic music. He was born the first of 9 children. And he became an accomplished violinist early on, playing for people who danced while visiting his father's inn. So he was an entertainer from way back. He had an unmistakable talent for music that was recognized and encouraged, and he studied harmony, piano, and organ for a few years. He had a very perceptive music teacher who realized that he had nothing left to offer the young Dvořák, and so he persuaded the father to enroll him at a music school in Prague. He was extremely poor during his studies and even there afterwards, and sometimes he didn't even have the money for paper, and he couldn't even get to a piano upon which to compose. So a lot of these things ruminated in his mind for an extended period of time. He made money by tutoring some students, and among the students whom he did tutor in the 1860s were these two sisters, Josefina and Anna Chamakova. He fell in love with the older sister, Josefina, but she did not return his affection, and so he married the younger one.
Close is good enough, I guess.
I guess. However, she was also a singer and a pianist, and so I'm sure that they had a lot of, you know, that they could talk about. The first few years, unfortunately, of their marriage were challenged. They had huge income issues, and the first of their 3 children all died in infancy. However, over the next period of time, they had 6 more children who all lived. The Dvořáks maintained a close relationship with the older sister, Josefina, and the count whom she had married in the meantime.
So she was looking for more money.
They bought a small summer cottage near the count and Josefina and ended up spending every summer there. And it's where Dvořák composed some of his best-known works. In 1875, Dvořák was awarded a state grant by the Austrian government, and this award brought him into contact with one of the greatest composers, Johannes Brahms. They formed a very close and fruitful relationship, and Brahms not only gave him technical advice on composing, but also found him a publisher, which meant his works could finally make it out, and he could suddenly he started, having a source of income.
Having a great contact is a good thing.
He composed several pieces that attracted worldwide attention to himself and his country's music, which was fairly unknown at the time. And the admiration of these critics and instrumentalists and conductors of the day spread his fame abroad, which led to even greater triumphs, even in his own country. And in 1890, he enjoyed a personal triumph in Moscow, where 2 concerts were arranged for him by his friend Pyotr Ilyich Tchaikovsky. So again, you know, it's remarkable at this period of time, this close relationship between Brahms, Tchaikovsky, and Dvořák. Dvořák accepted the post of director at the National Conservatory in New York in 1892, and during his years in the United States, he traveled all over as far as Iowa, and he found a lot to interest him and stimulate him, and as we know, he wrote his New World Symphony based on his experiences in America. However, he came to miss his country, and he returned to Bohemia in 1895 and then passed there. So we heard the opening movement. We're going to skip over the second movement and the third and go to the finale, which I think on a cold winter's day will bring us some liveliness and exuberance. This piece starts out quite exciting, and then in the middle of it settles down, and there's this almost hymn-like tune, which appears midway through this movement. And quite frankly, I think it's probably because Dvořák attended so many American churches, and hymns were such a part of the American tradition of churches. I'm sure that he was influenced by that. He brings it full circle, and at the end of it, he has an exuberant theme from the opening, and it ends with a lot of energy. As you can gather from his music, Dvorak, you know, had a very attractive personality. He was very outgoing and at the same time a very humble and deeply religious man of simple tastes and a great lover of nature. He was a very beloved person. So again, this is so exciting that we can listen to the last movement of the American String Quartet played by the Euclid String Quartet.
Thank you.
are back. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos. And Pamela, the Euclid String Quartet was amazing. And I know they've been very successful when they've been here.
Absolutely.
Heard a lot about them. And talk a little bit more about this program. It's going to happen on January 26th, obviously. Tickets are available still, or are they sold out?
We're close. But yes, it's the second of the chamber music series for this winter. And as you mentioned, the Euclid String Quartet performed at the first performance. And this will be the second one on January 26th at the Newport Art Museum. It is a concert and a reception. And the performers will be Serena Huang, violinist, and Robert Koenig, piano, and they have an incredible program. As we've mentioned before, Serena Huang won the Elvar Oliveira competition, and she's coming to us on this tour that she's doing. So we're thrilled to have her. That concert's at 7 p.m. at the Newport Art Museum. And I think it's going to be a wonderful thing to do on a perhaps a cold evening, you know, go into the beautiful art museum and get to look at some art on the walls and have a glass of wine beforehand and sit down, enjoy the concert, and during the intermission have a lovely buffet. So it's going to be quite wonderful.
Wow, so that's all included in the price.
Absolutely, $40,
right.
Yes.
Excellent. So that's something to look forward to, just a couple weeks away. Remember, if you'd like tickets for that event, you can do so by going to newportmusic.org.
Exactly.
And now we're back on track again.
To talk about the 50th anniversary.
Right.
And as our listeners have heard us say, this is really an opportunity for the festival to honor the legacy of our past and look to the future. So we will be playing one major piece of repertoire from each of the 49 seasons.
Wow.
And the Dvorak String Quartet represents season 39 in 2007.
Okay.
So the next set of music on this opening night program is a group of Aaron Copland songs, his old American songs, that we discussed in detail several weeks ago. So to hear those pieces and our discussion, our listeners can go to classical959.com and click on podcasts and listen to our discussion about those old American songs.
They can do that. All of our shows are archived there, so that you go to the WCRI website, as Pamela just mentioned, and it's classical959.com. You can find all the shows there, podcast.
So we will now skip to the second half of the program, which consists of Felix Mendelssohn's Octet in E-flat, Opus 20. This piece was first played in year 16 of the festival in 1984. One of the true strengths and joys of the Newport Music Festival is the incredible quality of our resident artists, who are all soloists in their own right, and yet come together every summer to create brilliantly played chamber music. So an octet means that there are eight players, and so it's really two full string quartets, four violins, two violas, and two cellos. This piece is one of the gems of the repertoire, and for those who are not yet acquainted with it, we are thrilled to be presenting it this year. So a little bit about Mendelssohn. Full name, Jakob Ludwig Felix Mendelssohn Bartholdy. He was born in Hamburg, Germany, in 1809, and he died in 1847 in Leipzig. Felix was born of Jewish parents, from whom he took his first piano lessons, so there was music in the home. And though the Mendelssohn family was proud of their ancestry, they thought it would be desirable, given the situation, to adopt the Christian faith. And so Felix, along with his family, was actually baptized as a Lutheran. And when the entire family was baptized, they adopted the surname Bartholdy. In 1811, during the French occupation of Hamburg, the family decided to move to Berlin, where Mendelssohn studied piano with Ludwig Berger and composition with Karl Friedrich Zelter, who, as we know, was a composer and a teacher. He had incredible talent, and so he traveled with his sister to Paris and took further piano lessons there, and it appears that that's where he first became acquainted with the music of Mozart. Mendelssohn was extremely precocious, and he was a composer even as a child, and he made his first appearance in 1818 in Berlin at the age of 9.
Well, he had to move quickly. He only lived 36 years.
I know. Very sad, short life.
Amazing that all that was accomplished in that period of time.
In 1821, Mendelssohn was taken to Weimar to meet the great poet, writer, Goethe, for whom he played some works of Mozart and Bach, and for whom he dedicated his piano quartet, No. 3. And what's so sweet is there was this friendship that developed between this aging poet and this 12-year-old musician. And we actually have letters between the two of them. And it seems that they were almost of one spirit. They just communicated on the same level. Similarly, in Paris in 1825, Luigi Cherubini, the great opera composer, remarked upon of Mendelssohn's outstanding gift. So again, at a very early age, his incredible talent was noted. In the same year, when he was just 16 years old, he wrote this octet, and it was most likely premiered at a home concert, at one of the friends' homes. Mendelssohn dedicated the work to his friend, Edward Rietz, who was a violinist, on the occasion of his 23rd birthday. And just to put a little perspective on this, he wrote this piece, and then in 1826, immediately afterwards, he wrote a very famous piece, which many of our listeners know and love, the Overture to A Midsummer Night's Dream. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine, here he is, this young, full of dreaminess, and yet he had the compositional skills to create these masterpieces. So, along with this sense of the new year and of, rebirth starting again, I thought we would conclude this evening's broadcast with the first movement of the octet, here played by the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields and led by Iona Brown. So a very happy new year to everyone.
And from all of us at WCRI, happy new year, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.